10 years ago. What were you doing? Do you remember where you were 10 years ago? It's hard to believe it is that long ago that that famous, you might even say infamous, death in police custody in Palm Island in Queensland concerning Mulrunji Doomadgee happened. It led to a riot by residents on the island. They were upset about the death. They were concerned that there wouldn't be a proper investigation. And it turns out their fears were reasonably well founded, because about 4 years ago, the Crime and Misconduct Commission slammed the initial investigation of the death in custody and then slammed the police review into that death in custody, basically saying that there's a closed self-protecting culture in Queensland police. 10 years on, has anything changed? Lex Wootton works for the local council. In 2008, he was found guilty of inciting a riot that resulted in the destruction of property. He spent a total of 24 months in jail for the crime. He's been intimately connected with these proceedings, and he joins us now on the phone from Palm Island. Lex, thank you very much for joining us. I want to come to that report that found that the initial investigation and the review were deeply flawed, and that the police really had to do some work on itself in order to fix up this culture. Have you seen improvement in the meantime?
Overall, you could say there was some improvement within policing in the community here, but in the mainstream communities, I'm quite unsure if there are changes. I think there hasn't been enough done to stop the high rate of incarceration of Indigenous peoples of this country.
The incarceration remains a very big problem. You're right about that, and we've had figures demonstrating that very recently. But when you talk about some improvements within the community, do you mean the local community? Do you mean Palm Island specifically?
Yes, just in Palms. I'm not actually sure what's happened in other communities and police relations in other communities, but I actually have a good relationship with the sergeant of police and the previous sergeant before him, so overall, but there isn't enough being done to stop the incarceration in our community also. But there are things where we actually have more police on the beat and stuff like that here. But and then there was about $300 million put into security in the sense of cameras throughout the main district area of the community. But it still doesn't improve some of the social problems.
Looking back 10 years, why do you think the community reacted the way that it did?
Well, it's, I suppose, what you stated first time about whether there would be a fair and proper investigation into the death in custody itself, and that's why the community reacted. The police minister and police commissioner and the actual premier were invited, I think about 3 days later, to come over to the community and assure the community that things will go along according to the guidelines of the deaths in custody reports. And there were letters from the community through the council to get them to assure us that things would proceed down those lines, and nothing happened.
So on the issue then of deaths in custody specifically, have you seen reform from Queensland Police on that issue?
No, there's no reform other than the reforms of building new police stations, prisons, equipping them also with more staff, stuff like that. And overall, there's nothing has improved in the communities, as the Royal Commission into Aboriginal Deaths in Custody don't only deal with those particular institutes about what's needed to be improved in communities like education, transport, you name it, housing, all of that stuff. It's all highlighted in the recommendations, but I think the government, through these recommendations, only looked at government services.
Now, in your own case, you spent 2 years in jail for your part in the riot that happened after Mr. Doomadgee's death, which I mentioned before. Then you were released, and you were released on parole, and you were prevented from speaking to the media. What was it that they didn't want you to say?
Well, my guess is that they didn't want me to talk to the media and more or less keep the spotlight on what happened at that particular time and stuff, but it was all politically motivated from my point of view. And I couldn't say any more than what was already produced through the three inquest into the death itself. And then you saw how the police reaction to all of it, where they tried, as you explained, they slammed various reports on what happened. So I think they just didn't want me to have a voice in the wider community also, so that, you know, I wouldn't be able to raise these things at that time, where it would have kept that particular issue and a lot of other issues concerning Aboriginal Australia. So I think that's what it was more about, and stuff like that. They just wanted it to, what is it, sleeping dogs lie, so... Yeah.
Well, that gag has lapsed, I should point out, which is how you're able to speak to us now. In your case, you weren't put in prison for not paying a fine or for domestic violence. It was for your role in the riot. Do you have any regrets about that?
No, never. I don't have any regrets. You know, now it's, 4 years down the track since I've been released, and a couple of months, July this year, since the gag order was lifted, and I'm just moving along, and I try and get involved in anything that I see is it's going to improve the outcomes in our communities and stuff like what I'm doing now, working back in my community, you know, to help build things. But
the riot itself, I mean, did that achieve anything particular?
Well, look, it put Palm Island on the map in the sense there was a lot of focus put on Palm through the media and stuff like that, and... that's what we wanted at first when we called for the Premier and Police Commissioner and stuff at that time, and then we said that we needed media to be involved in this stuff so that there is two sides of the story and not just the ones where the government and their media advisors or the police and police media advising how things should go. And then, but Palm has been at the focus of a lot of things over the last 10 years, and then when you look at, if you saw various reports, there was improvements infrastructure-wise, but still there needs to be a lot more. All we can do is look forward and keep going down the track of better improvements.
Well, one of the improvements you're trying to seek is via a class action that you're launching against the policing that occurred on Palm Island before and then after the death as well. And I understand you're trying to prove that policing in that time was discriminatory. What are you hoping will flow from that?
Well, if there is a good outcome, hopefully those that were affected get the support that they need, because there were a lot of people affected, especially myself and... the Dumigi family and those my co-accused and stuff like that. So hopefully there could be changes in that area. Also at that time there were a lot of kids that had high-powered rifles pressed against their head and stuff like that, so they need counselling and support. It's a legal right that I have, and it was identified, you know, my arrest and the state of emergency was declared illegal and stuff like that. So, yeah.
Lex Wootton, thank you very much.
Rightio, thanks for that.
Palm Island resident and local council worker Lex Wootton will lead Ali with you for Drive. Have any recollections of that era? If you've been in the area, you know a bit about the way that Queensland policing has evolved. Do you think that there have been improvements? Lex Wootton seems